Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Through the Tech Vine. So be quiet, pay attention, and get inspired. There is one truth that is not told enough. Technology is not magic, but it can be magical. Technology is human. It is part of who we are, our evolution, our future. Will it be a dystopian or utopian one? Well, that is up to us and nobody else. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Well, try to make it more global.
Yes, we're global.
We're live. We're global.
Global.
Yeah, and you know what it makes us global is that we are on the internet, on the World Wide Web.
Worldwide.
Yes.
World Wide Web. Why don't we call it like that anymore?
Web. I don't know.
The World Wide Web.
Yeah, I love that.
Because we're lazy.
But no, seriously, here's a topic for next time. I'm making a mental note, unless you guys have the answer. But why we went from World Wide Web to the internet?
I think Sean has a point. It's shorter, right? And in general, as the dude from The Big Lebowski says, most of us are into that brevity thing. But I think also because web people, you know, may not think of the internet is more than just the web. So maybe World Wide Web just doesn't feel as inclusive. Those are guesses.
Yeah, because when I say internet, I feel so warm and snuggly. Like internet. I don't know. I like more this web of connection, right?
It's better than cyberspace. Cyber sounds very kind of like.
Or maybe people that have arachnophobia decided that they couldn't dial in, thinking that it's a World Wide Web, and just freaked out.
Spiders were gonna get them.
Sharing space with spiders.
Yeah. And yet, awesome. you get the spiders that crawl the web. That's what they used to be called, like the search engine bots. They still do call spider. Yeah. So, yeah, if you don't like spider, the internet is not the place for you. Uh-huh. I think that's clear.
That's true. And if you like to do like maturity models and stuff, spider graphs are good.
That is true. And so here we are talking about animals. It's a zoology episode. Are we talking about animals today?
Mine
the
is
animal
not
kingdom?
Animals.
No.
Not animals or food.
Mine either. So we just start with the wrong.
Mine
wrong.
Is both. Oh.
Yours is food for sure.
I'm kidding.
Ooh. Okay.
No,
food
what these
animals.
See, Diana went to eating animals, and it could be animals eating. You never know.
No, I did go to food for animals.
Okay, very good.
So,
very good. Well,
Diana doesn't eat animals. We haven't figured that out yet.
Who eats animals?
Nobody. Animals. It's the food chain in the animal kingdom that we all learn in school.
It's the circle of life.
It's the web, the web of life.
The worldwide web of animal life.
Of life.
All right. Let's do a proper introduction. Everyone, welcome episode 9, because I'm counting. And we're getting a big milestone. 10 is going to be, I don't know, we'll bring a cake.
Special guest.
A special guest. Maybe. Yes.
Yeah. Secret special guest.
A secret special guest that may have to...
We're going to have to stretch the web.
Yeah, right? We may have to change our time because it's from a different time zone. And you know what is funny? You may be listening right now. We haven't even invited him yet. So you're probably thinking like, they're not talking about me.
He doesn't know it's him. It's going to be a big surprise.
It's a surprise for the
hey, surprise bestie. Whomever is listening right now, it could be you.
That's right.
Well, you kind of cut off half of them. Because you mentioned the gym.
Yeah, I went really, really far away from us.
And
on the other side.
You eliminated the U.S., so people are starting to figure out.
I'm going to give the... If you're familiar with geography,
no,
we're going to cut this side of the world where we are, but also we're going to cut, if we split it in four, right? We're also going to cut the north part. It's kind of like... down.
Is this how you're going to count the episodes?
Under.
Are you saying like Greenland's off the table for our guests?
Not that. No. Maybe next time, but not the one we're thinking now.
Antarctica. We could have penguins on.
Cuts right there.
Yeah, we're more in that zone. But anyway, well, first we have to invite him. Maybe just say no. What are you talking about? Not coming. Then we have to find someone from that exact region. Otherwise, we look like fool. Which I'm cool with that. I feel like we're okay making fool of ourselves.
That's not a problem for us. Not a problem. We're fine with that.
So no energy exerted for me for that.
No, and this is another prerequisite to be on our show. You have to be a little fool. You have to be able to make fun of yourself a little bit and have opinions, because we are opinionated, are we?
I think Daisy Buchanan specifically said that she hoped her daughter would be a little fool. So
you have to be a little fool, a little crazy, a little dreamer. To make, you know, to go for it, as they say in many songs.
That's true.
Are you going to talk about songs today, Diane?
I am. I got a song to lead us in.
Nice.
And Sean, usually you're the one with the music or food. What is going to be today? You want to give us a tease?
It's neither.
Neither. Glasses. You're what? Moving glasses.
Says who?
People that can
people
see
can't,
you now.
People can't see on the podcast that I'm
That's
moving.
That's right.
Glasses.
We're on the radio.
So that would be a silly tip off.
We are on the radio.
I'm a dog on the internet today.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Woof, woof.
Aren't we all? How do you enter your password if you're a dog?
Biometrics.
Biometrics?
Well, so dogs' nose prints are as unique as fingerprints. So,
my God.
So you could do dog biometrics with your nose.
Let's talk about that. So
that would be cool.
So the equivalent of our fingertip is the nose for a dog. You could actually recognize individual dog just from the nose?
Yeah, the patterns in the nose leather are apparently as unique as human fingerprints.
All right. So could I use a paw factor? Well, not a paw factor. It's a nose factor.
Nose factor. I don't know about their paw pads. I did hold up my hand like I was going to do sweater paw or something, but I don't know. I don't know if their paw pads are unique. What I had read was just about the nose print.
See, another thing to look into.
That's right.
All right. Sean.
Yes.
How you been doing?
I'm gonna authenticate with my nose and okay. We're off and going.
First of all, is it artificial intelligence Sean today, like last time?
That's a real one today.
It's a real Sean.
Nice.
We're going real today.
Okay. Did the other one run out of battery?
The other one ran out of power, and the cable got cut.
And there goes your artificial intelligence. Right? There is no power.
No power.
There's no.
No connection.
No connection. No computing power. No artificial intelligence. Yeah. All right. Well, we love to talk about technology, and that's what this show is all about. It's through the Tech Vine. We pick some news. That's our homework, and we. I don't know about you guys, but I suck at it. I'm like the last minute is like before the test in school. I'm like, oh man, like what am I going to talk about today? I don't know enough about this. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll throw it out there. Diane and Sean are really smart. They'll probably know more than me. Well, anyway.
And this whole thing was your idea. And yet you're like waiting to.
Yeah. And to give a little background to this, when we decided to do this, Sean was like, we got too much stuff to do. I don't want to have to prepare and learn something and like just for this. I'm like, come on, man, it's going to be fun. We're always reading news anyway.
Wow, he talked me into it.
Yeah. And now I'm the one that is like, That's right. Oh God, 10 minutes. I still don't know what to talk about. Scrambling. But no, I think I'm good.
So I kind of actually love it because while I'm reading, like I'll, you know, over the weekend and stuff, I'll be thinking, oh, is that something good for TechVine? And if I like it, I then save the link and then I look at it and then I'll I'll sort of do some background so that I have a little.
My problem today is that there were too many and very eclectic choice. And maybe I'll go through that later just to tell you where my brain was, because eventually it's something I can talk about next time. So
there you go.
It's not wasted. It's not wasted time. Not at all.
You're wasting I love my time now.
This is mean, Sean.
It is mean.
This is clone.
This is real.
Yes, a mean clone.
Sean. Yeah, Sean was so much nicer.
Yeah, real Sean. You know, future Sean is going to be really nice.
That's right. Got to figure out the algorithm, program it correctly.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Should we get going?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. News number. We need some music or like some special effect, like, wah-huh. I don't know, like a clown.
I
mean,
in all the spare time, I think we'll up the production of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stay tuned for that. Everybody hold their breath for all the advancements.
Well, you used to play the trumpet, Sean. So maybe just put the trumpet next to you. And every time that there is something cool, you're like, bah, bah, bah. Oh, no, he's going to go get the trumpet.
No, he's going to get the trumpet.
Oh, no.
That's on you, Marco.
If you're watching, there is an empty... And in this section, and if you're listening and you don't hear from Sean, you're probably gonna hear a trumpet. Oh God!
Sean has gone to get his trumpet. Oh, and I see the trumpet is here.
Oh okay. My God!
Is that a bugle?
Should we lower the volume? Are you gonna blow somewhere?
It's probably gonna blow something off. I've not. It is.
Just I'm probably, stay away from the mic. Maybe
it's I mean,
that's
gonna, it's an English one.
That's vintage.
How old is that?
It's probably over 100 years old.
Ooh. Is it a Martin Ireland?
Charge!
Did that blow anybody's eardrums?
No, it was actually nice.
I've not.
It's very pleasant.
It's a very nice sound, actually.
I've not put a mouthpiece to my mouth in I don't know how many decades. At least 10
really?
Years.
I thought you played
it. Sounded pretty good.
There we go. That's all you got.
All right, I'm ready to charge.
You so got a concert too.
That is so not clear. That was so not crisp like it should be. But anyway,
now people are not seeing unless they're watching right now. But it looked more like a little horn than the trumpet. Does it have the button on it?
It is not a trumpet. It's probably
bugle.
Well, it is certainly a bugle. I don't know. It might be a special bugle. So it might have like a complimentary name that goes along with bugle. But I don't know.
Beagle.
Beagle. It's a bugle.
A beagle bugle.
It's a dog. Right.
Yes.
It's a dog. It's a trumpet dog.
It's got a unique
dog.
Nose print.
We don't know. We're on the internet. We don't know what instrument it is. It could be anything. Yeah. Could be a guitar for what I know. Well, thank you for the show, Sean.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Maybe I'll practice, but don't count on it.
Yeah. Can we request a song and then you practice and you learn that?
I know many of them. It's just practicing and making them sound good. Yeah.
Homework.
Reveille and taps and loads of them. So
cool. I love it. We know you love music and food. So. Today, don't think about food, think about music.
Yes.
All right, that was fun.
That made me hungry.
That was fun. So the button, it played three notes, not even.
That's right.
And it's like, this is my workout for the day.
It made me think of the mess song.
Did it make you think of eating bugles, though, is the question.
not beagles, bugles, yes.
All right, let's get serious.
People are wondering what the hell is this?
For a couple of minutes. Let's do what we are supposed to do while we're here, and is to discuss some tech news. And Diana goes first. And what is it about?
Okay, so we weren't sure if we were going to be able to show this, so I'm going to talk you through it. But
now we know we can play it.
Play it even. Yeah.
Well, Sean played it.
Sean could play it for next time. But if you, people of a certain age may recognize the name of the band Joy Division. And their first album was Unknown Pleasures. And what I was going to do is I was going to play a little bit of the very iconic song from Unknown Pleasures, which is She's Lost Control. So go listen to it if you haven't heard it in a while, because I hadn't, and it was nice to just go back there. But the reason that I wanted to show the album cover, which unfortunately does not display very well if I show it from my phone, is that the album cover of Unknown Pleasures is not just a really cool graphic, but it's, in fact, it's not some cool art. What it is it's a stacked plot of the radio emissions sent out by a pulsar, which is pretty cool. The Joy Division was doing that way back in the 70s. They were like, hey, let's put a pulsar on the cover. But so pulsars are rotating compact stars. And that means like white dwarfs and neutron stars, and they emit radiation sort of like cosmic lighthouses, which is pretty cool. Okay, and that's better than I got on my phone. So there you go. This is the cover of Unknown Pleasures, if you're on the video for this, from Joy Division, and that is in fact a pulsar. And pulsars were discovered in 1967 at Cambridge University. And this was a really, really big deal. It was such a big deal that after they discovered it 7 years later in 1974, Anthony Hewish of Cambridge University received the Nobel Prize for, quote, a decisive role in the discovery of pulsars. And what pulsars have done for it. So it's actually, if you're an astrophysicist and you're doing research anytime, that new discoveries are made, some of them may be made on top of the fact that we know about pulsars and what pulsars are doing. So it's helping researchers quite a bit and helping to advance our knowledge of astronomy and astrophysics. But also there's a really cool applicable way to apply the research about pulsars, which is in something called X-ray pulsar based navigation, or XNAV, which is essentially celestial GPS. So if you're up in space, one of your favorite places, Marco, you love space. Yeah. If you're up in space and you want to find out where you are, you can't use obviously the regular GPS that we would use down here on Earth. You need something else. And knowing that pulsars exist, these kind of cosmic lighthouses, has enabled XNAV so that we have celestial or space GPS. So all that's pretty amazing. And there was a Nobel Prize out of it. Cool stuff, but the reason that I'm talking about it today, other than it's just always kind of fun to listen to Joy Division, is that there's a new documentary about the actual researcher who discovered pulsars. Now, would you guys think that it's Anthony Hewish, the guy who got the Nobel Prize for his decisive role? He did not.
The way you...
Not when you
that was that. A rhetorical question. I already knew the answer.
A little bit.
And now she's going to make us look bad.
No.
Because it is.
No.
A double trick.
Yeah.
That's right.
Reverse psychology right there.
No, he was the professor who led a number of graduate students, and one of his graduate students did all of the work. She is responsible for the discovery of pulsars. She should have gotten that Nobel Prize. Her name is Jocelyn Bell Burnell, and there's a new mini documentary out about her, and we'll share the link about the mini documentary about her time in science, what she's done, an interview with her now about what she's working on. She's well-known, very respected astrophysicist, but she is the reason that pulsars were discovered. Probably should have gotten the Nobel Prize for it. And is also the reason that Joy Division had a really super cool cover on their first album. So that was my note. It was just really about that. And I was wondering what you guys think as far as science and how we attribute. Do you think that maybe she should be awarded something now, even though it's years later, to maybe get some special recognition from the Nobel Committee? Maybe should we call for this? Call Sweden?
I think we should.
Oh, you're playing She's Lost Control now.
Sorry, Joy Division. It's going to be short. It's a great band, by the way.
It is.
Yeah.
Really cool. Really atmospheric. Yeah. I think it's a very important topic, and I think it's one of those things that you finally know about. And I think it's happened way many more times than what we think it did, where it hasn't been given credit to the people that should have been given credit. It's like when the assistant read the book, but the professor get the credit for it, you know, the research, the paper, and all of that. Now, this is important because it's a woman, too.
Bringing it back to music, I mean, there's always the front man, right? I think there's that issue, too. And that twofold. One is just the gender part of it, but then also the fact that there's somebody who's put in front of the band as the face for the band. Yeah. For whatever reason, either they founded it or they're most marketable or they're an a-hole and they just take control. There are many, many reasons, I'm sure.
Yeah. Sometimes they're stupid reason. Yeah. Sometimes they're commercial reason. In this case, I think it's very non-diversity oriented reason, meaning that back in the days, I mean, when you look at the history of science society, for example, the women weren't even accepted in it. You know, they used to go work in NASA, even a NASA called computers. Computers were women, right? I mean, we know that story because they will calculate things. They were really good at it, but they never made the
movie.
Yeah. There's a movie about that. Yeah. And sometimes there are men that don't get the credit. There is a book that I'm about to start of this guy, which is a junior engineer at NASA and the Apollo mission. That is the one that come up with the idea of detaching parts and the module, the orbits to land on the moon, because the original idea, and they thought it was crazy. Like, what the hell are you talking about? They wanted to just launch a rocket, land on the moon with that rocket and come back. And the guy changed the course of history, for example. But let's go back to this person. I think it's sad that people don't get recognized when it's the right time to do it, but yeah, it's never too late.
And we at the Tech Vine are recognizing the great work of Jocelyn Bell Burnell right now for her discovery.
Yeah, you have at least three who recognize that, and I presume people who follow us share some of those same values and thoughts. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a big bottle that we're bottling in the community of science, in the community of cybersecurity, and anywhere STEM. You know, bringing younger generation of any gender and whatever pronoun they want to use into the industry. So that's important. And Sean, we had a great conversation that is coming up.
We did.
Very soon with a wonderful young woman that is, her dream was to explore and learn about space. And now she's an intern at NASA and she's very young and she's already making the difference. So stay tuned.
Super smart.
Super cool.
Super passionate.
Very glad that I made a podcast on a Saturday morning to accommodate the fact that she's a student, and it was really cool and totally worth it. You guys are gonna love it because we need that. We need that. Yeah. So I love that.
Look for that one. Look for that episode from Jasmine.
Yeah.
And I wish we had her on for this because I have so many questions about the technology and the pulsar. And I mean, if it's a map of space. Does that I presume it means it's static, or does it change and does it have to be updated or not? And I don't know. I mean, and the image on the cover, is it a map? I'm wondering what the significance is of that particular
I believe it's the wave sound that it captures.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's that stacked plot of the waves of the radio emissions.
Yeah, and the thing about the pulsar is that I am not expert, but they rotate and they emit a pulse. That's why they're called pulsar, at very precise interval. And many times in the past, been actually believed that there was some kind of a sign of an alien sending us a signal and a code for that.
So apparently when Joyce first, or Jocelyn, wow, when Jocelyn first was finding, I think their sort of code name in the research lab as they were trying to figure out what the pulsars were was LGM, like little green men, because they that was one of the discussion points, was is this coming from an alien or is it coming from stars? Because we don't know if there's something coming from space. We don't know if it was generated by another life form or if it was generated by a star or some other activity out in the cosmos. So you're actually right. They did have a code name, Little Green Men.
Little Green Men.
So they realized it was the
I wish we had Jocelyn on. Stars.
I want to send a message to Jocelyn and invite her to join us. Because
I'd love to learn more about.
Oh, it's, we can.
There's a documentary all about her, and it's
all right, we'll watch that, and then we'll have her.
And we can have an all space tech vine through the tech vine space, and you know I'm gonna hate that because you know, I don't like space at all. No, I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. And yeah, great idea to involve obviously the young generation that they already know way much more than us. Anyway, I feel like I was like learning so much during that conversation. Sean, clone mean Sean, what do you got?
I'm grumpy today. I'm joking. I'm in good form. I struggle to find something interesting. I think this is probably more for discussion and conversation of where things are heading. It's driven by a company that Marco and I don't particularly like. I know. But they're doing things, and the core of the content for discussion is smart glasses, and so that was why I was doing a little twitch there with glasses.
Okay.
And so it made me think. Well, what do you think about when you think of smart glasses? What does that mean? And probably some visual display. And is it? I know Google had versions of Google Glass, and I can't remember who else. There are other versions.
Didn't fly much.
Didn't fly, and that's why I was interested in why is this back again? Why is this back again? Do we really need smart glasses? And in this article where it talks about the smart glasses, it's not about viewing things differently through these glasses. It's about a wearable that, funny enough, doesn't really care about the eye. Part of the senses, it's about the sound and hearing and speaking primarily, and probably vibration. So a way to interact with your phone instead of a watch. And so in the article, it talks about other technologies that are wearable like, and I'm wondering if do we need these technologies to, I don't know, maybe in professional life, there's a need to, you can't wear a watch because you're working with your hands. So maybe the glasses are a better way to interact with a tablet or a computer or some airplane, or maybe it's a pilot that wears glasses instead of a headset, right? Or earbuds that perhaps block the ears. So it was more of a trigger for me, less about smart glasses and what do they do, but more about just do we benefit from having smart wearables wherever it is, on the wrist, around our neck, on our face, over our ears? Do we need smart shoes? I don't know. So that was kind of the catalyst for this. I don't know, thoughts? Do we need wearables, or do we see examples of places where wearables are valuable?
So I always go to, I could certainly see benefits of anything, right? You could, if you really wanted to know how many steps you're taking, right? You would put a tracker into or a sensor into a shoe, for example. That's going to be probably more accurate even than what you get on your wrist. With vision, right? If we could switch it over quickly, we could get, like with a touch, We could go from looking at each other to I'm on a plane and I want to shut everybody out, touch. Okay, now I'm watching a movie right in front of my eyes. I don't need to have a separate screen. So I can see some real benefits to making what we wear smarter. I always do get a little bit nervous about the security impacts, right? And that's my job. I get worried about the security impacts and somebody being able to, because every time that we add something, we create a different smart function or feature that we've got one other thing that an attacker could come in and at least observe us. You know, like if with the sensors of how many steps you're going, is there a GPS involved? Potentially they can find out where you are, find out if you're moving. They triangulate that, not, it wouldn't be triangulation, but if they connect that with data from your phone, they might, you know, be able to start seeing if you're taking more exercise, less exercise. If you're saying that you're doing a lot of exercise, and your insurance company is forcing you to, it says you to do that to be healthier and you're lying about it, you know, that kind of information could come out. So there's always a lot of threat modeling, I think, that needs to be included whenever you're adding more smart functionality to anything that we wear and use all the time. But I also think there's a lot of potential, you know, fun benefits. I certainly wouldn't mind being able to have like a screen on my phone. On my glasses, I'll tell you that, especially on planes. You're not always looking down. You're just like, it's right there. Because you get better. I'm sure you can get much better vision that way. Resolution.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that comes to mind, me and Mark, and then I'll let you go, is just the idea. And so security is certainly one thing that this group always tends to look at. But yeah, I'm just thinking safety as well and being distracted. So it's one thing to get a vibration and an alert on a watch. May you look down. Perhaps you're driving and your hands are on the wheel, so you can see the screen on the watch. But if something's, I mean, we're not allowed to drive with earbuds in, right? So if these are what they're creating are branded commercial sunglasses, basically, that are smart. So they're not goggles you're wearing. So this is something somebody's going to wear while they're driving, while they're walking the street. We know stories of people crossing the street looking at their phone, right, and almost getting hit by cars. So there's this distraction thing and the constant interruption thing that all of these wearables bring to bear. That's one of the things that I was thinking about.
That is a good point. Yeah.
Yes. Just yes. That's my comment. It's for a change, you know, it's like that guy's always talking so much. No, it's yes, yes, and yes. But the way, do we need glasses? No, I think we don't need a lot of things, but then we do, right? Number one. Number two, everything is getting smaller and less intrusive as we can make them smaller. You know, like radio got smaller, phone got smaller, and they got bigger again because we needed more screen. Then what you just said, you know, when you're doing things and you don't want to get distraction, there is time for everything. I can see that to be very dangerous. You're driving and you have these glasses that are really going to distract you even more, for example. On the other hand, you know, you have the phone or the I don't know, the Apple Play in your car that says you can't do this because we know you're driving. So there is a way to control that because people are going to take an app and drive a Tesla in a tree, assuming that he's a level 5 autonomous, which is not, clearly. You haven't read the manual or anything. So we need to be responsible for what we do all the time. And I think it's inevitable. I mean, every futuristic movie from, by futuristic, I mean, they look at technology of the future from James Bond to, you know, Star Trek to whatever, there is always that little thing on even Star Wars that the pilot put on his eyes. And real pilots do that too. They have now on their visors, they have all the coordinate that they need to fly and everything. So it's just bringing that technology to an everyday use. There are cars now that they project the information on your windshield instead of having to look at the speed and all of that. So it's already there. I think it's inevitable. It's what we do with it.
But I think
I hope you can watch a movie inside your glasses while you drive. That's my hope.
Well, not while you drive, but yeah, I like the idea of getting much smarter with implantable medical devices, for example, like, you know, with pacemakers and defibs, you know, maybe getting more information off of them, maybe helping them to be smarter about could they somehow charge their batteries somehow internally instead of having to be removed on a schedule so the batteries could be replaced, or thinking about what's going on with diabetes research, where it used to be people had to, you have to prick your finger and then you check the blood, and people couldn't see over time how their blood sugar was changing. So that it was always this kind of point in time. Even if you did it six times a day, I mean, A, your finger would hurt, and B, you were actually only getting these snapshots. And now they have these wearable devices that can check your blood sugar and give you the reading over a 24-hour period. So I love the idea of getting smarter for medical systems that can help us understand our state of health in a richer, sort of fuller way. Because with diabetes, understanding how people's blood sugar changes, not just with the fingerprint, but looking at days and weeks of data, apparently has really changed how people are looking at the kinds of foods and how impacts of exercise have on your blood sugar, which could hopefully save lives.
Not only that, but you have the prediction. So when you have that, and I don't think it's a secret, but I do have diabetes and I'm insulin dependent, so I can talk about this topic for a long time.
Okay.
I don't always advertise that, but I don't have a problem. Anybody that meet me knows that, you know. but it got to the point that he's predicting what is about to happen. Because the big problem with diabetes back in the days was, before you even pick your finger, you have to check in your urine, which will tell you what you had 3 days ago, which certainly is not helping you. That's why it was very, very hard to manage back in the 50s, 60s, and so forth. And then you had the picking the finger, and now you have the constant monitor, which on your phone will tell you your trend is going up. So you could do a little bit of insulin to mitigate that. Or you're going really low, like you're going extremely low because you overdid the insulin. So you want to drink some orange juice, for example, which is always what you're battling with. So there is that predictiveness. And then you go to the next level, which I know few people, even in our industry, that have that, they have the pump that is connected to that. So you will release insulin accordingly, which, you know, that's why then you go to DEFCON and you're like, yeah, those pumps can be hacked. Because that's the other thing about security, right? So it's like, do I want that to happen or not? You know, are they secure or not? So it's a lot.
Well, this is the other thing that comes to mind for me.
But it helps a lot. Sorry, Sean.
Oh, no, that's great. Because, I mean, 10 years ago, would you have accepted a real-time monitor that's attached to you, or let alone a pump even 10 years ago or 15 years ago? I don't know if it's the societal readiness or the technology readiness or the technologies too advanced. Because I'm going back to the Google Glass 2015. It failed, right? Either people didn't see a need for it, or the technology didn't quite meet what customers wanted, or people weren't ready to wear glasses around, or maybe it was just the design wasn't cool. Who knows? I guess it's a question of readiness for society, readiness for technology, and the marriage of those two. And bringing it back to the insulin monitors and pumps, I don't know.
I think it's different. Yeah. I think it's like when you take a medicine that you know it can have a side effect. But like the vaccine, if you know that the side effect could happen, but there is a higher percentage that if you don't do the vaccine, you're going to get COVID and potentially die, it's risk calculation and you do it. So if there is a positive effect on your health, on your security, on your well-being in general, then I think the decision is one thing. If it's just because it's cool, you know, like I'll give you an example. I didn't get the Apple Watch for a long time. But the moment that I could actually monitor to go back my trend on the glucose, not only on my phone, Well, first was on a monitor, then was on my phone, and then it's on my watch, and it vibrates
next
if there is an alert. And that's probably going to be in my glasses. I mean, what is, I guess, is what does it do, and is does it make it worth either the security risk, the privacy risk, or anything else? You know, so if the glasses is a cool thing, it may not fly. But if it's something that it helps you to, I don't know, cure your headache, I'm just saying, well, maybe everybody that suffers headache is going to be like, hey, that's cool. I'll wear that helmet because I wouldn't have diabetes. I mean, well, this would be nice.
A migraine.
We're not there yet. Or migraine, right? So I think it all comes to the benefit versus the convenience and the risk of it, I guess.
I think you're right. I mean, I think that was one of the problems. So I had a friend, we should actually bring him on, a friend who had Google Glass, who had the Google Glasses, and he took a lot of photos, which was fun with them. Cause it was actually, you know, you take some, you know, take cool photos.
Every kid dream, like, okay.
Right. Yeah. You're just tapping and you're taking the photos, but I'm not quite sure what else it really did. I mean, I think that it had maps, but I think that it was probably, it seemed pretty limited of what could be done with it. But Marco, that's a great point, is that what are you going to do with the watch? Well, as soon as you realized, well, you could look down and monitor your glucose status and keep your health in check, then suddenly it became something that you really wanted. So
it's like a no-brainer because it makes my life easier, yeah. Right? So that's the big difference. Do something that make my life easier, right?
Yeah,
and that's probably gonna fly.
And what other wearables? What wearables don't we have that we want? What about tech that doesn't exist? And what would you want to do with it?
You know, I was just thinking about this. I think everybody, you know, is trying this. The implants is the future. Like we're trying to augment who we are as human, right?
Cyborgs.
So, yeah, cyborgs or our intelligence or our capacity to calculate. And, you know, we're doing it on a phone now where we have everything. But I think the goal is to do it in our brain. We were kidding on a podcast the other day. Mm. We're like, I think we were joking about the browser rebooting. And I was like, well, what if your browser was in the brain? Then I have to reboot my brain. Right? So if it doesn't work and my interface is all in my brain, what the hell am I going to do? So in a way, you have everything disconnected or you have everything connected. And I think the future is to have everything connected, right? Yeah. And because we want to be better, faster.
The other example they gave was fingers. So gloves and haptics and touch and things like that. So as I read the article, I envision us wearing glasses, maybe something over our ears still, I don't know. Stuff on our fingers, on our wrists. They talk about, they didn't talk about watches necessarily, but bands that certainly do monitoring, things like that. So I don't know. And obviously we've had stories of smart clothes too. So
I would like if they keep going down this, you know, it would be, speaking of rebooting your brain, people who have severe cognitive decline, whether through dementia or Alzheimer's, that would be a very, very cool technology. If they could figure out somehow to augment people's brains so that they wouldn't have to suffer from severe cognitive decline. That would be
the
great.
Technology is there for a lot of things. I was reading about the little, I don't remember who did it, but who was involved. But anyway, it's a research on people with Parkinson. So they can input a little tiny, chip in the cortex or wherever that happened, that every time that you have a moment of, you know, hyperactive nervous system, it will do a little zapping of electricity and will kill that and calm whatever is happening at the time. Wow. So I don't know if it's commercially available, ready, but that's where we're going. There's going to be something for everything. I think the glasses, again, are going to be really good when they're connected to everything else. And Sean, you mentioned the gloves. And I was just watching it pop on the Twitter feed, probably, because they know what I'm interested in, of course. Yep, the gloves that...
Crab fingers?
They look like it, but it's you're wearing these gloves, and they're kind of virtual reality gloves that you will use in an environment like that. But you... actually, you're not just moving in a virtual reality, you're controlling a robotic arm, anywhere you want in the world. And they added a tactile feeling to whatever the robot arm is touching, you can feel it. So you can literally unscrew a cap of a bottle of water to the point that you can... play, they were showing playing, I don't know, the cubic group, the cubic, no, Rubik's the Rubik
cube. Rubik's cube.
But also you could do surgery from anywhere in the world. And I think that there is already surgeon that can do a surgery through a robotic machine somewhere else in the world. So my point is you put the glasses that are connected to all of that. So instead of looking in a monitor, you have your glasses on and you can control all of that and you are full virtual environment. There you go. So you got the gaming experience. You got the real life saving experience. You have the working
Let's
experience.
Let's play a game. Bring the next patient.
But it's all connected. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that technology is—it's like computer. The computer technology is the one that make us play crazy video games on machine that are more powerful than your laptop, and at the same time, they allow to save life in the surgical room.
Yeah, that's very cool, right? Because you can have a skilled surgeon who may not be able to travel halfway across the world, but they could
remote workforce.
Would you be okay now if they'll tell you, here's a surgery is going to be done remotely by a robotic arm by someone that is very far away? Would you be thinking, what if the internet doesn't work? How redundant that thing is?
Right.
Is there a backup in the room?
Yeah. That's it. There would have to be some sort of I think you still have to go to a hospital, right? Because they'd have the equipment. And also there's the whole issue of everything being sterilized. Yeah. So if whatever happened, there was a glitch in the matrix and your surgeon couldn't complete, you didn't just lie there and die on the table. That would be
all right.
Not good.
Let's talk about this. Have you ever been, I'm obviously skipping my thing. But I will do a little historic moment because it's very important. Have you been in a car that is somehow autonomous?
I have.
It will break. You just let the car break, keep a certain speed on the highway, and you decide what distance you want to be. And then the moment that a car crosses in front of you, you don't freak the hell out and slam on the brake, but you trust actually the car to do that for you?
No, the autonomous car I was in on a 3-mile trip could only go 1 mile. And during that mile, it was on the Las Vegas Strip too. So which nice straight shot, you know? And during that 1 mile, it took a wrong turn and got us lost. So the human had to intervene.
So that was actually with GPS driving itself and everything. So it's full autonomous, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean,
going on 1 miles an hour. 1 mile an hour. You're like, you know what? Screw this. I'm opening the door and walking away. You can do that. You don't even have to roll on the ground. You just walk.
The best part was that this was a Lyft. It was a part of a Lyft program. And not only was there the actual driver who had to take over for the car for most of that trip, especially after it took the wrong turn, but they have another person that Lyft was paying to be in the car so that if I had a bunch of questions and the driver needed to step, had to focus on the autonomous vehicle, like not drive. So there was another person that they had to pay to just be there so I could say things like, hey, what's going on? so the driver wouldn't get
stuck. So that's your experience.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a Disneyland type of ride, right? Super safe.
With two Lyft folks, they're watching out to make sure this car didn't do the wrong thing.
That it wouldn't tilt 1 mile an hour or crash into a wall. Like 1 mile an hour, can, like, you know, whatever. If you're walking out of the door and hit your shoulder, Sean, have you ever been in a car like that, but a little faster?
More than 20 miles an hour.
No, I think we had the opportunity, or we tried to get the opportunity in Vegas, just like Diana, mm-hmm. but that didn't happen. Yeah. And to be honest, I haven't driven anywhere.
Well, I can tell you this.
Let alone
when you're in a car,
driven by somebody in a long time.
When you're in a car and you let the car keep the speed, the distance, and brake, and you're on the highway, you're going at 70, 80 miles an hour. You're not a happy camper the first time you do it. But then, I don't know, I trusted the car. And so I'm like, okay, it's probably better than me. Been tested for a very long time. Where I'm trying to go is, we're not perfect. The surgeon can mess it up really big, right? The other day, somebody was not required to have a liver transplant. He got it, whatever. People leave... tools inside your body,
sponges,
stuff happen. I mean, we made mistake. It's a reason why we may want to have our autonomous car. Because if you look at the people that die in the street every year, it's crazy. And that's because drinking and driving, distraction, phones, not knowing how to drive, you know, crazy driving. So in the long run, these cars, yeah, may not be perfect, but we're not perfect either. There got to be a point where their imperfection is better than our imperfection.
If we can train them.
Just ask them. Right. The robots are much smarter than us.
If they can be trained properly, you're right. If they're able to do something repetitively and repeatably, and it's going to be safe, then you're right. We as human beings, when we repeat things, we can't always do them at exactly the same level or the same time. You know, you see even elite athletes sometimes get the yips, right? And computers don't get
that. We're seeing that right now.
Or the twisties. Yeah. And computers don't get the twisties, but also, a lot of the things that we're asking computers to do are so complicated that to be able to autonomous driving seems really simple. But when you start, and I know we don't have the time here, but when you start really digging into what it's going to take, we do a lot of calculations and a lot of context filling in that it's pretty hard to translate that into autonomous vehicles. And somebody who's a PhD top scientist working on this at a very famous company said to me, I said, when are we going to have it? Because I'm like, this person would know. I was like, when are we going to have it? And he said, not until we can actually retrofit the roads. Now, I don't know if that's going to be accurate or not, but that was from someone who's smart and really knows. He said, we have to retrofit the roads because we need to be able to give more signaling to the cars than the roads would have right now. Even think about something like on a rural road where you may not have the lane markers properly or they're kind of partially washed out. These are the things that the car needs, and we can fill that in. We know, oh, I can see where the road's ending. But it can be much harder for the autonomous cars. So I agree that when they can be accurate they're and repeat things, they can be much better than us as human beings. But that repeatability is, I think, a higher hurdle than we realize in a lot of instances.
But we were talking last time about intelligence. I think it was one of our episodes, but we talk about this a lot. So intelligence is really, I think, the wrong word to use. Why would you decide artificial intelligence and not artificial something else, right? Because they're really good at doing certain things, but intelligence has a very human element. It's cognitive, it's emotional, there's too many things. And again, I think you said that last time, we're expecting too much, and you just said that right now. So I think the solution is, if you're going to drive a car, the way I like it, it drives in a way that it helps me. If I screw up, it kicks in. So if I know that the car and me together are going to break, yeah, if some idiot is going to come through, or if the car can read the sign on the floor, I mean, don't just let it all for it. Because as you said, it's very complicated. The environment is very complicated. The prediction, we're just expecting too much. But I think that that breaking point, I feel safe if I know that the car has a camera and a radar and a leader, and all has to do that if I'm distracted, it's going to break. So
it's different direction of control and protection, right? Mm-hmm. So is it the car helping you, or are you supporting the car in its autonomy? And are we, if it's the latter, are we ready to forego the human part? Clearly, in your Lyft example, no. There are two people to take over.
Also, a lot of liability if something happened to you as a passenger. Yeah. It's not your car.
It was a completely safe drive, I have to say. Yeah. Both the Lyft team were great. But
you were going miles an hour. Of course, safe.
And
I put a skateboard next to you.
Blind spot detection is a great example where we can't see. The car is aiding us, and it detects every now and then. My car tells me that a tree is in my blind spot, and I'm like, "Yeah, that's cool." But I mean, you're right. Then that's a case where it can see something I can't, or can detect something I can't. But it's aiding the human, but it's not replacing the human. So it makes me feel better when I'm changing lanes, but I'm also aware when it's telling me that there's a tree next to me.
Aware that you can't really trust it 100% because you know that there are limitations.
Yeah.
And that's the key. So it helps, but we should have an episode surgery, all about cars.
Yeah. Surgery would be a different one too.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say happy birthday to one of my favorite organizations in the world. You know what that is?
NASA?
Yes. This morning I was like, I picked news about retrofitting dam and to make electricity out of it, you know, the now or not. So environmental. And then about the guy that recreated his girlfriend with an artificial intelligence after she was dead. So we may talk about that next time. And then I went to the today in history, and it's like July 29, 1958, NASA was created. I'm like, that's it. But, you know, we're at the end of the show pretty much. So I'm just going to say happy birthday, NASA. Thank you.
Keep exploring.
Happy birthday, NASA.
Yeah, I'm going to go on Twitter and say that too. No, it's always exciting to know that a lot of the thing that we have now, it is because of that research. And that's another thing we learn from, you know, why do we go to space? Those interesting conversation that we always have. So
yeah, we got to the end. I had an alternative topic in what space. Well, but I didn't, because I figured you were going to do something space. So.
See, I just went with the flow and talked about your topic.
And it was connected to something that was mentioned last week. So I don't know, maybe the next episode.
No, seriously, I was joking, and I'm Diana. I'm excited, always like, oh, this is the good news, and this is the news I want to talk about, because I enjoy doing that with you. There's always all these different angles, you know, between the three of us that we bring on. And am I just excited to see what happened if really we're able in episode 10 to bring the fourth element and see how weird we are, or if somebody can just get into our brainwave. Because I feel like after 9, we kind of know each other well enough to know what to expect, except for Sean, because I never know which clone he is.
Well, here's the thing. AI Sean. Assuming we have a guest and they join us, they're along for the ride, right? They're going to...
Absolutely.
It's an autonomous tech through the tech vine. They get to come along.
And they get to bring a topic. So maybe we'll sit back a little bit.
Yeah.
Fresh air.
I can be lazy and not pick something next week.
fresh perspective. Fresh perspective from someone else that maybe is going to think about a little bit outside the box compared with what we do. Although I think we think outside the box quite a bit.
No pressure, special guest.
No pressure, special guest, whomever you are. All right, we are almost at the hour again. I don't know, we ever decided how long we'd go?
We go 59 minutes and 6 seconds, according to this.
I remember the original idea was 30 minutes, and we are really bad at that. So get it double. It doesn't cost anything. Share it. If you would like for us to honestly talk about something that you care about, leave a comment on social media or just contact us and let us know why don't we talk about this, and we may actually do that. So thank you very much.
Yeah, so I'm going to trade these Ray-Ban reading glasses in for the Ray-Ban smart glasses.
Okay.
So I can listen to Joy Division as we bounce on you.
Nice.
Let's see how that works.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Right on.
Well, peace out. 59. 5, 56, 7, 2, 1. Peace.
2, 1. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Through the Tech Vine podcast. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.